Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Global Spirits Limited Q4 FY21 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Shekhar Swarup, Executive Director, Global Spirits Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Welcome, everyone, to this call. Before we dive in, I hope that you and your families are safe. As you're aware, the COVID-19 pandemic has rendered the last fiscal as a challenging and unprecedented year for most industries. For the alcohol beverage industry, it has meant that key consumption events such as celebrations have gone down. Restaurants, pubs, and bars have been closed, and demand for alcohol from these centers has seen a downward trend. However, there has been an uptick in compensatory demand that has been flowing from in-home consumption, leading to increased sales throughout shops. With the second wave emerging since March in this year, we are seeing similar trends play out in the industry again. For Globus, we've been able to face this challenge head-on and have been able to deliver a robust performance on the back of our two-pronged business model, that is, the distillery segment and the consumer segment. A testament to the resilience of this approach has been validated with over 90% capacity utilization, even in this challenging year. Further, this year we have increased our focus on improving distribution penetration of our brands, as well as made talent acquisitions at key positions to help drive focus to areas of importance. This, coupled with our strategic focus on product development, continuity of operations at lowest possible costs, and financial prudence, has not only helped us maintaining leadership position in many of our key segments, but has also put us in a strong position for growth in the forthcoming years. Keeping the prevailing difficult environment in mind, we have been actively engaging our staff and assisting them in overcoming any challenges that they have faced during this period. We have neither reduced salaries nor have downsized our staff in any way as a commitment to belief that we value our employees. I would now like to take you through our segment-wise journey this year gone by. Starting with our consumer business segment, whose share to the total revenue has increased by 50% in this year. That is from 35% in FY20 to 43% in FY21. The hourglass-shaped markets that we have been alluding to in our previous calls continue to guide our strategy of operating in key markets. Global Spirits is in a unique position with its product portfolio in two significant segments. That is, the higher-end premium segment and the value segment. With this, we are able to achieve high profitability consumer business at a scale. I now request Param to update you about these segments.
Thanks, Shekhar. Overall, we are very happy to share that despite the COVID challenges, our consumers have continued to support us with their brand loyalty, helping us to grow the overall consumer segment volume by 11%, with the consumer business revenue leading volume growth. This reinforces our belief in the resilience of the value segment and our continued investment in growing it. All our key and potential states of Rajasthan, Haryana, as well as West Bengal performed well. This is the journey plan for them. We are all aware that the consumer flirting between price points amplifies in buoyant as well as in challenging times. Towards this end, we are happy to update that we have been gearing ourselves to service this. We have successfully started energizing our current portfolio across the chain by improving its overall delivery to the consumer, as well as improving the range of our offerings to cater to the evolving tastes. Two flavors of our existing brands were introduced in Q4 and further improved, as well as new offerings are expected in the first three quarters of this year. We have also embarked on a journey to strengthen our route-to-market capability. This will allow us to strive to improve our engagement at every step of the chain of the brand movement, right from reaching the trade warehouses to leaving the retailer's hand. We are confident that over time, this initiative has a strong possibility of becoming our sustainable competitive advantage in the value segment, thereby, along with capability building, allowing us to significantly improve our performance from current times. Premium spirits remain of strategic importance to the alcohol industry due to the share of industry profits that they contribute. We are aware that this category has come under more pressure during these unforeseen times, and we were no exception. Global Spirits will continue to participate in these segments directly after the merger of Unilever Limited, which is expected to be completed in this quarter. As you may be aware, we have been working on building a strong portfolio of premium liquor brands under the Unilever umbrella. Keeping in line with our objectives and the recent environment, we are working towards a plan that takes into account some of the recent shifts in the business environment and focuses on making sharper choices based on the following five key parameters: profitability of the relevant segments, size and salience of the segments in which we operate, convenience and affordability to service the market as a small player, size of the investment required, as well as the time required to make a particular state business profitable. Basis these filters, we will be focusing most of our energies and resources on a few key states and improve our investments in these as we go forward. This will also mean conserving resources in some other states. Our business plan also emphasizes participation in a couple of additional profitable segments in key markets in the coming year. While overall our volumes in premium spirits degrew by around 14% in primary, the secondary performance came in much better at a degrowth of 11%. Oakton Premium Whiskey almost managed to hold on to its previous year's volumes. Overall, it has been a very gratifying quarter as well as a year. May I request Shekhar to continue with the update on the company's performance, please?
Thanks, Param. Since our inception in the early 90s, the core of our business has been to set up manufacturing houses in deficit states. A deficit state is one that depends on bringing its alcohol from other surplus states in India for the use of liquor and ethanol. This strategy allows us to maximize capacity utilization at higher prices than distilleries located in surplus states from the very first day that the factory operations start, whilst investing in our consumer business in that state. This strategy continues to be proven as the right way forward to maximize return on equity from our industry, even as the country is looking to ramp up ethanol manufacturing capacities to service the target of 20% ethanol blending with petrol. Due to the demand of ethanol blending, our deficit states of West Bengal and Rajasthan have not only increased their decreased their deficits further, creating excellent opportunities for us to invest in capacity expansion. Our 140 KL per day expansion in West Bengal is nearly complete, and we expect the plant to start production from Q3 of this financial year, with the total installed capacity at that location increasing to 250 KL per day. This will be the single largest distillery in India after the expansion is complete. Our expansion in Rajasthan is complete, and we are now producing 160 KL per day, up from 140 KL per day in Q4. Whereas the prospects in deficit states continues to remain exciting,
the impact on surplus states is truly remarkable. The sheer quantity of ethanol required in India, even at the current level of 10%, has pushed our surplus states of Haryana and Bihar into a deficit, thereby allowing us to increase margins and even consider capacity expansions in these states. We are happy to announce that we will be undertaking an expansion of the Bihar facility by 140 KL per day, and work will commence later this year. In addition, the company has already begun construction of a new facility in Jharkhand. This facility will start production in quarter two of next financial year and will add to our distillery and consumer business. As we had mentioned previously, the commitment of our managing director, Mr. Ajay Swaroop, to engineering and technology has helped us drive down costs setting up new projects to the lowest in the industry. Happy to announce that the West Bengal expansion that is now nearly fully expensed will be coming in at less than 80 lakhs per KL of capacity. And this is a record even for us. Byproducts are important for Global Spirits. They not only help us maximize revenue from our capacity and maintain high profitability, but also help us run zero waste factories. We currently process a bevy of byproducts into value-added materials that include processed CO2 that is used for industrial as well as beverage, catering, and transport applications, and also a valuable animal feed supplement that contains over 45% plant-based protein that is derived from our raw material. Byproducts contributed about 11% to our total net revenue and is included in the distillery segment. I now request Dr. Bhaskar Roy to take you through our financial performance.
Thank you, Mr. Sekhar. Good morning, everyone. Let me now run you through the operational and financial performance of the company. We are happy to report that our higher margin consumer business has seen an increasing share of the total revenue. The contribution of the consumer business has increased from 35% in FY20 to 43% in FY21. The manufacturing business, on the other hand, while growing, has seen its contribution go from 65% in FY20 to 57% in FY21. In the manufacturing segment, our revenue came in at INR 7106 million for the full year FY21 as against INR 7483 million for FY20. In Q4 FY21, manufacturing revenues came in at INR 1984 million as against 1763 million in quarter 4 of FY20, a strong growth of 13% year-on-year. In the consumer segment, we have seen a strong growth not only in revenues, but also the contribution of the consumer segment to the overall business. For full year FY21, revenues from consumer business came in at INR 5137 million as against INR 4147 million in FY20, translating into a growth of approximately 24%. In terms of volume, the consumer segment saw sales of 12.34 million cases, a growth of 12% year-to-year. For quarter 4 FY21, the revenues came in at INR 1565 million, which was a growth of 68% from INR 932 million in quarter 4 of FY20. Volume growth in quarter 4 FY21 was strong, 50% at 3.74 million cases versus 2.5 million cases in quarter 4 of FY20. Quarter 4 of FY20 had about 7-8 days of lockdown, which had impacted sales of consumer products. At the end of December 2021, we had updated you that all our facilities and markets have resumed normal levels of operations. As we neared the end of the financial year, we began witnessing a resurgence of cases across the country. The year also marred by disruptions caused due to floods in Bihar. All things considered, we are happy to report that our overall capacity utilization for the full year FY21 remained close to the 90% plus range, with the utilization in Q4 FY21 coming in at 99%. This was driven by strong demand across our business segments. In FY21, we had another strong year of cash flow generated and generated rupees 148 crore of net cash flow from operations. In the past 3 years, we have generated a total of rupees 314 crore from operations. This has helped us with the following. Clearing our debt from INR 230 crore in FY19 to 176 crores in FY21. Investment in expanding activities, capacities, and product and market development. The finance cost has reduced by 20% year-on-year from INR 23.5 crore in FY20 to INR 18.8 crore in FY21 on the back of reduced gross debt as mentioned above. Reduced average cost of debt from 12.5% in FY20 to 8.8% in FY21. As a result of the improvement in the financial risk profile of the company marked by healthy operation margins and comfortable capital structure and debt coverage indicators, the credit rating for our long-term and short-term bank facilities stands reaffirmed at KRA stable with enhanced credit limits as of January 2021. We saw our EBITDA margins expand by around 1140 BPS year-on-year to 24.9% in FY21 from 13.5% in FY20. While the corporate tax rate applicable to the company is 34%, however, the MAT credit available to the company as a benefit for setting up cogent plans and older section of the Income Tax Act reduces effective cash payout for tax to around 18% in FY21. Till such time this credit is fully utilized, the company's cash outflow on income tax will be and continue around 18%. We anticipate that this credit will continue for 2-3 years. The benefit can no longer be available for new projects. Now coming to our working capital cycle, overall working capital cycle has seen an improvement. However, there has been an increase in accounts receivable on account of strong growth in higher price of consumer value segment for which the duty payable is funded by the company. The account receivable saw a further increase due to higher sales of ethanol, where credit period is about 30 days to AMCs, unlike ENA, which is typically purchased on advancement. Despite this increase in working capital, our return ratios have seen a significant expansion. ROE and ROCE has gone up from single digit in FY19 to 24% and 29% respectively in FY21. The board has recommended a dividend of 20% of face value at INR rupees 2 per share for FY21. While we stand in solidarity with the country during these trying times, we are proud that our teams continue to strive for the betterment of the company. This concludes my remarks on the operational and financial highlights. I would now request the moderator to open the forum for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Avnish Roy from Edelweiss Financial Service. Please go ahead.
Yeah, congratulations and thanks. My first question is on the regulatory aspect. Could you comment how things are moving in Delhi? For example, the policy has been delayed and in Rajasthan, beer has seen a more favorable tax policy. So any comment, what's happening in your segments and your market?
Param, could you please take that?
Yeah. Thanks for the question, Avnish. So we have been with a lot of interest observing the Delhi policy, which has now been finalized. At this point of time, we can say the policy allows us an opportunity to enter the market at an appropriate time to complement our position in the value segment in that market to enter the premium segment. As far as Rajasthan is concerned, I really don't think that changes in the beer policy are likely to have an impact on the strong play that is there in the value segment, because there has always been some interplay between segments in the consumer preferences, and this will be one of those nuances which is not likely to play out in any significant manner.
Second question is, market leader United States essentially is taking a call on part of its portfolio on evaluating what to do. As a key player but small in the branded part, what would be your thought process on inorganic group?
So, we continue to evaluate all opportunities to grow our distillery segment as well as our consumer segment. We believe in this hourglass shape market that has emerged, and I've spoken about a lot. We find that most of USL's or Diageo's brands occupy the center of that hourglass, a space that is reducing dramatically in volume. So whereas, it's something that we are thinking about, but we are concerned that it occupies a space that is shrinking in volume dramatically.
Last question, you mentioned in opening remarks on in-home consumption reading. So my question is, in your markets and your segments, if you could give more color, what exactly has changed versus pre-COVID? And second is, duty-free again has reduced for the industry. So for the branded Indian IMFL industry, what are the benefits? If you could discuss that. And any comments on the home delivery in your markets, any development there?
Param, could you please take this? Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. So as of now, obviously, we have seen with this continued pressure on lockdowns, many progressive states have started unlocking this challenge and have progressively been opening up opportunities for home deliveries. In quite a few states, this is still evolving, and there are still some hurdles that are being unlocked to make it a seamless operation between the consumer and the service provider. As of now, this whole operation is really restricted to premium segments. It hasn't trickled down to the value segment at this point of time. But we are confident it is a matter of time as the digitization and the digital economy keeps on evolving. Like the whole cell phones today, everybody has a smart cell phone, even if the consumer plays at the absolute the bottom of the pyramid. So this also will continue to expand and find its place over time. As of now, it's an interesting space, a growing space, but contributes very, very small to the overall portfolio of the alcohol. Coming to the duty thing, there is a lot of discussions around, and I think you are referring to the BIO duty structure which is happening. Is that correct? Avnish, is that my understanding? Is that correct?
Yes, you're correct.
Yeah. So yeah, we are obviously expecting softening of the 150% slab which exists as of now. So overall, it is an interesting development, and it will allow two behaviors to emerge. One is obviously the competitive price, the BIOs will become much more competitively priced as we move forward into the future, opening up growth opportunities in that place. And it will also allow IMFL players to take advantage of it, because most of them use Scotch as a key claimed ingredient. So it continues into the framework of India's premiumization journey. And overall, I think it will be beneficial for the alcohol industry and so also for us.
Sure, that's very helpful. That's all from my side. Thanks a lot. All the best.
Thank you. A request to all the participants, please restrict to two questions per participant. If time permit, please come back in the question queue for a follow-up question. The next question is from the line of Yash Agarwal from JM Financial Service. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir, and congratulations on a very good set of numbers. My first question is, what is the sort of raw material cost benefit, especially on grains, we've got this fiscal? As in, how much was the grain cost down and how sustainable is that benefit from our raw mat perspective? That's my first question.
So, yes, you're right. This year, grain has been soft for us. But I think the more significant point here is the market expansion has happened due to the change in demand for ENA and FFO. We believe that the current levels of margins are sustainable going forward. There may be a little bit of a, how do I say it, a lag in terms of timing where, you know, raw material prices may go up and prices of finished products might take a little bit of time to catch up. But I don't foresee that as a significant as the company. The main issue is that ENA and ethanol, the demand for these two products put together have created a deficit in India, which will take a very long time to meet fully. And as a result, for this period, we believe that the current levels of margins will continue.
Sure, sir. And one more question is, how much of our capacity we can do ethanol? So is there a fungible capacity? And out of 15-16 crore liter, to what extent can we go up to make ethanol from the current capacity? And also in the new capacity that we're adding in West Bengal, and I think you spoke about Jharkhand, etc., is that going to be a fungible capacity, ENA and ethanol, or it's going to be pure ENA?
So all new capacities will be fungible. But on the existing capacities, Bihar is fully fungible, so that's 80 KL per day. And Haryana is 50% fungible. That's another 80 KL per day, which is fungible. So total of 160 out of our capacity of about 500 is fungible as of today. Going forward, all capacity will be fungible.
And one last question from my side. What has driven the increase in IMIL realization? I believe it's up almost 10-odd%. Is it just state price increase, and how sustainable, you know, or do you think this number could be, you know, the IMI realizations going up?
I'll let Param shed more light on it, but in our consumer segment, the reason we've been able to drive up value revenue is largely due to introduction of more premium price points within the value segment. So Param, could you please shed a little more light on this? Thanks.
Yeah, so absolutely. As I said, in the whole value segment space, there are new price points emerging, and we are confident that these are here to stay. And we have been well poised to take advantage of that, and these incremental price points where we are offering, our offerings are much more, akin to the requirement of the higher price point. They have a better brand, product, as well as liquid delivery, are finding very strong acceptance. As of now, the indicators are that this trend is not only likely to continue, but there is a strong possibility that this trend is going to expand further.
Sure. Thank you so much for answering my questions.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Awasthi from East India Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Firstly, sir, on the ENA prices, the way that it has been moving, I have two quick developments could happen on this front, which I want to clarify with you. One is that IMIL players who outsource their ENA requirements, there are a few, they are seeing a hit on their ENL because of the increase in ENA prices. So do you think the states will oblige and increase the IML prices once again and by a good margin? That's one. And two is on the flip side, do you see your end user customers who are IMFL players setting up their own distilleries at some point of time, because it makes more sense for them to, you know, have an internal source given that the prices are so high?
So, you know, there's a third trend that's happening put out there, and I'll address all three together, which is that with increasing ENA prices, IMFL players are having to move up in price points and vacate, you know, value price points for players like us. So yes, IMIL you know, the lower end of the value segment is certainly going to get price increases. We see price increases for these segments at least once in 2 years, if not once every year. We've seen a price increase in Haryana, in Rajasthan, fairly regularly. We saw one in Bengal as well. But in the next financial year, not in the current, there will probably be further increases. Most of these increases are enough to deal with the inflationary environment of, you know, costs, and they don't usually lead to significant margin enhancement for standalone bottling plants. You're right. I mean, in some states, firstly at Global Spirits, we believe that if you want a strong value segment presence, the only way to do that is to be fully integrated in terms of capacity. You may have some seasons or a period of a few years where you may be able to create a business and have some sense of profitability and cash flow if you are a standalone bottling plant. But the only way to have a long-term solid business in the value segment is to be integrated. So, you know, if some bottlers have that aspiration, then, you know, surely they should be looking at setting up capacities. So I hope I was able to answer your question there.
Yes, sir. So secondly, coming on the expansion, you mentioned Jharkhand. So when would Jharkhand come on stream?
So we've just about started construction there. So we expect, you know, around Q2 of next financial year.
And what will be the capacity there?
140 KL per day.
140 KL per day. Okay. Okay, so just last question would be, what would be the grain prices roughly that you would be getting your grain prices at, and how does it stand against the FPI offered rate of 20 rupees per kg, and are we using any of that grain?
Our grain state to state, our grain prices vary. They're dependent on you know, the type of the different types of grades of broken rice available. We do not buy food. We don't buy rice which is used for food. We buy broken rice, which is a waste product of the rice milling process. About 5 to 7% of the rice mill's capacity is waste broken rice. There are different grades of broken rice. There is sortex, non-sortex, parboiled, raw. And each of these give us different yields. It's a little bit difficult for me to tell you what is give you one number for all over the country, but suffice it to say that, you know, this is something that is very important to us, and we have a team that's focused on this. In fact, it's something I look at personally very regularly as well. FCI is 2,000 rupees. And currently, it is more for us to use broken rice of different grades. We do have a small amount of procurement from FCI, very, very small, just to understand how that system works and you know, even put in some ethanol from that route. But it's very, very small. Right?
Got it, sir. So on the price points, there was a mention that different price points are emerging and there are products being introduced within these price points. So one of them, if I'm not wrong, is the Rajasthan medium liquor. Are there any such other, can you share the examples of any such other value products which are arising in the mid segment price point?
Param, could you please?
Yeah, so, you know, these are, What we alluded to was that there appears to be a trend that is forming where the states, after considerable delay, have realized that within the broad zone of value segment, there is also a high opportunity of driving aspirations. You have rightly mentioned as RML of Rajasthan. There are other states which are seriously working towards it, and to Haryana has entered that fray, early days yet. We are confident that there are a couple of other states which are in very early stages of it. I won't be surprised if this trend slowly expands, and it is up to us to now create offerings which are significantly superior in delivery and pull consumers not only from the bottom of the pyramid, but from the next rung, which is above us, of IMFL, which is the declining segment. It's a very interesting opportunity, and as of now, it is showing very strong signs of accelerated growth.
Okay, sir. Great. Great. I'm getting all the questions answered, and best of luck for the future.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rusmik Oza from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Sir, can you give us a consolidated view of the expansion that is going to play out in FY 2022, FY 2023, and FY 2024 in terms of the capacities that will come up on a consolidated basis at various places? What will be the CapEx for each year, 2022, FY 2022, 2023, and 2024?
Currently, there are, besides the project in West Bengal, which as I mentioned, is fully, nearly fully expensed. This year there will be 140 KL of additional capacity coming up there, along with 20 KL in Rajasthan, which has already come on. Total of 160 extra this year. For these two projects in this financial year, there is hardly any CapEx that is pending. The next round of expansion, which has been approved by our board, is a greenfield site at Jharkhand and an expansion at Bihar. Both these projects will come on, will start production in the next financial year, so that's 2022-2023, and will add 280 KL of capacity. Put together, you know, these projects should cost us about 225 crore or so. As of now, this is the expansion that has been approved. There are one or two other projects that are currently under preparation, where we are conducting our internal exercise on. These have not been approved by the board and will be taken to the board later this year and perhaps come into construction and CapEx, if approved, later in the next financial year.
That's helpful, sir. My second question is related, you know, if you can just give us a breakup of FY 2022 revenue in terms of the contribution that has come out, come from ethanol and maybe sanitizer business.
We don't break up revenues like that because, you know, the distillery segment comprises of ENA, ethanol, which is our alcohol sales. It comprises of byproduct sales. It's difficult to do that breakup. But, you know, our capacity to produce ethanol is about 160 KL per day across the country, across the entire company, out of our installed capacity of 500 KL as of now. Pretty much all of our ethanol capacity is being used for ethanol as of now. The balance capacity is being used for a combination of obviously consumer, so allocation to within the company for our consumer business and franchise bottling for other brand owners, as well as some amount of bulk sales. Suffice it to say, the the distillery segment revenue was about 55% this year, which is up, which is down from 67% or 65% last year.
That's nice. So last question from my side is, you know, if you can just help us understand whether the margins on EBITDA level are higher in case of ENA or ethanol for your company?
Again, it varies state by state, and it's difficult for us to take a single view across the company. In West Bengal, for example, ENA is more profitable. So we maximize ENA sales over there. Similarly, in Rajasthan, ENA is more profitable. In Bihar, it's kind of the same whether you make ENA or ethanol. So we focus on ethanol so that, you know, because ENA from Bihar has to go into West Bengal since Bihar is a dry state. In Bihar, we focus on ethanol so that we don't end up competing with our own facility in West Bengal. In Rajasthan, in Haryana, we actually have a very small amount of ENA production that is sold within India. It's 50% of our capacity is ethanol. Of the balance, about 60% is used by consumer, and the balance amount of ENA we actually export overseas, which has been the case, in fact, in Haryana for many years.
Thanks. That's it from my side, sir. Best of luck for your future expansion.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hiten Boricha from Joindre Capital Service. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning, sir. Congrats for the very good set of questions. Sir, I have a couple of questions. So the first question is, sir, our Q4 was partially impacted by the second wave, and even after that, we managed such good numbers in both the segment, in manufacturing segment and consumer as well. So, should we assume this 50 crore kind of trend is our base earning now, as and it can only go up with increasing capacity and entering new markets?
In our states, Q4 did not have. In our states, Q4 did not have. Any significant impact of the second wave. There were no lockdowns in Q4. That has started happening in Q1. So Q4 has actually been a pretty good performance in terms of getting a full quarter of operations.
Okay. So can you quantify any percentage or something how much is Q1 is impacted as of now?
Unfortunately, not able to do that. Once Q1 closes and we publish our results, I'll be able to get into Q1.
Okay. Just two corrections, sir. If we assume we can exclude the Q1 because of the lockdown, so is this assumption correct? We can do 50 crore kind of PAT for the next second half of this year, excluding the lockdowns in Q1 and all that?
Again, I'm not in a position to comment about H1 PAT for this year, but, you know, our business is... our business performance is strong. It's come from sticky businesses. We've commented on the environment generally. Now, thereafter, it's we continue to operate on a best effort basis to maximize profits and operations every day.
Okay. And my second question is on the clarification of CAPEX, sir. You mentioned we are spending 225 crores for the expansion in Jharkhand and Bihar, right? So are we spending this 200 crores this year itself, or is it spread in FY22 and 23?
So a large part of it will happen this year, especially for Jharkhand. Most of it will happen this year. Bihar, it really depends on when it starts. As of now, we start construction this year, but there are some amount of land acquisition and a few other activities that need to be completed before we can start. So it's Jharkhand 90%, 80% of it this year, Bihar
depends on when we start.
Okay. So can you quantify how much we are spending on Jharkhand out of this 225 crore?
It's about 125, give or take. Yeah. That's the plan.
Okay. Okay. Sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chirag Gloria from ValueQuest Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So my first question was, what is the maximum revenue we can do with this expanded capacity which is available in FY22 with us?
You want to know how much revenue it will add?
Yeah, potential revenue possible with the existing capacities which including which will come on stream in FY22.
Well, that really depends on how much consumer business is able to grow. But the new capacities just on 100% bulk should add around 52 rupees or so from the business, and about 8-9 rupees from the byproducts business. So that's say about 60 rupees per liter. In terms of what is the potential from existing capacities, as mentioned by Dr. Mayer, we've done 9-ton capacity utilization in Q4. So we're really running at full tilt in Q4. But consumer business is growing extremely well, and we hope that the current we will only be able to grow the current trend.
Right. And in terms of margins, so you mentioned that margins are quite sustainable. So I just wanted to know, so Q4 you did around 25% margin. So that run rate is sustainable, but full year we did around 21, that is sustainable.
It really depends what your outlook is on our consumer business growth. Consumer business continues to increase as a share of our overall business. The margins there will... our overall margins will obviously continue to increase.
Right. And in terms of capex, FY22, there will be hardly any capex. Is that understanding correct?
No, there is going to be capex from the new capacity in Jharkhand and the new capacity in Bihar.
Okay. So this 225 crore would be spread over 2 years, FY22 and 23.
Yeah.
And how will be the funding for the same, sir?
Internal accruals.
No debt would be required?
No, down debt, sir.
Okay. Thank you. And all the best.
Thank you. A request to all the participants, please restrict to 2 questions per participant. If time permits, please come back in the question queue for a follow-up question. The next question is from the line of Chetan Romani from Romani Holidays. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, good morning.
My question is, due to lockdown in the month of April and May, is it going to impact the sales?
Yes.
Okay, fine.
When sales, there is no sales, so yes. But I'm not able to quantify that impact. Yeah. Immediately, the impact is going to be far less than last year. Lockdowns were far less stringent. But again, we are still in Q1, not able to comment too much on that.
Okay, fine. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aviva Batra from Fair Connect Business Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, my first question is again on the operating margins. So you said you'll be able to maintain those. So we take Q4 as the benchmark, right?
So the margins, there are two types of margins that we make, margins from our consumer business and margins from our distillery business. As our value segment as well as our premium segments continue to grow, blended margin will increase. The margin that you make per unit or as a percentage in our distillery business is stable, and as our capacity grows over there, the total
margin earned in that business will grow. Now the question is, what is your outlook on our share between the two businesses? Certainly as our manufacturing business, as our capacities increase, there will be significant increases to revenue share manufacturing. And gradually our consumer business will, we believe that we should get better growth than we've already demonstrated. But, you know, that will start catching up and increasing margins further.
Okay. So in absolute level, you know, the margins may decline if the proportion of consumer business goes down purely because your manufacturing capacities will come on stream. Would that be correct?
Yeah, I think that is fair because consumer margins are greater than manufacturing margins, and manufacturing is going to grow at a larger CAGR as opposed to consumer.
Okay. And overall, what is your expectation on growth in revenues for the year? Broad range will also do.
We'll get 6 months of new capacity in Bengal, which is adding to about 30% of total capacity.
We are losing your audio.
Right, right. Is this better?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. It really depends on lockdowns as well, right? I mean, if you're going to have multiple lockdowns, of course, it's a very difficult year for the country and the world, but, you know, it gets even more difficult to predict operations.
The third wave is lighter than the second wave, and, you know, if you were to kind of predict on that basis, then what would it look like?
I am unable to predict waves, unfortunately. So, even in our budget, we have kept some margin for that. But like I said, consumer business should grow faster than last year in this year. And of course, there is new capacity coming up in Bengal and new capacity in Rajasthan that's already started.
Sure. And your subsidiary where you are doing the bottling, that was loss making. Is it still loss making that you're going to merge?
Yes, it is. It is still loss making, which we are merging with Global Spirits.
Okay. And how much is the loss expected this year?
About 3 crores was the loss last year, and it will remain around the same number in this year.
Okay. And why do you continue with this loss-making business? Is it to...
Because we are investing in premium brands and growing our distribution in that space. So at this scale, there is bound to be a loss till such time as volumes increase to offset the loss.
Okay.
And so this loss is also part of our plan.
Okay. So by when this, segment, this Unibev segment become profitable, how many years will it take?
I think it's important to look at the consumer business as a group. There are going to be brands that perform better than the others, but we are restructuring our entire consumer business into one umbrella, which is the consumer division at Global Spirits. The performance of this division has been exemplary in the last 1 year, and going forward, it should continue to do well both at premium as well as value segments, based on our key assets of distribution that we have in the states that we are present in, and a few others that we are adding.
Sure, thank you, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Sahil Narayan, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So, hi Shekhar. Congratulations on the good set of numbers. So, am I audible?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So, congratulations Shekhar and team on the good set of numbers. So, I've got a question on the expansion plan. So we decided, the board has decided to expand into Jharkhand and some other states, right? So what is the rationale behind it? Is it that the, is it an alcohol deficit state, the strategy, whatever you mentioned, that's the reason we are venturing into? So that is my first question. And second thing is, Shekhar was mentioning that the funding, there is going to be a capital expansion to the tune of 225 crores, right? So I just want to know, so even for West Bengal, actually, right now we have invested close to 110 crores. And for Jharkhand and other expansions, another 225 crores we are going to expand, right? So closely it comes to some more than 320 or 330 crores it comes. So what is going to be the funding? So are we going to dilute to equity, or are we going to fund through internal accruals, or how much of this is going to be a bank debt? So these are the two questions I have got for you.
Yes. So first answer is yes. We are expanding into deficit states. Jharkhand will be a play for ENA and ethanol, which is part of our distillery segment, and it will also offer prospects for our consumer segment at the value as well as premium end. Your second question was about source of funding. All our projects are being financed through internal accruals, whilst we continue to pay down debt as well as pay dividend to shareholders.
That's it, Shekhar. So I'll wait in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prati Rathi from Perpetuity Ventures. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. My first question is on the debt part. Gross debt is right now around 175 crores for the company. And FY22 and 23, it seems that most of our cash generation will go towards CapEx. So do we see, is there any room for debt reduction in the next 2 years, or do we see it at current levels?
No, I believe that debt in the current financial will be lower than what we started with. So we will continue to pay down debt.
Is there any rough target which you can share?
I think we have about 3 years left in our repayment cycle. Maybe bring it down to about a 50 to 70 kind of number and then maintain that.
Okay, got it.
It's not really a target. It's a loose sort of direction.
Okay. And my second question is about how we see the mix of the consumer business and the manufacturing business evolving over the next 2 years, given we are investing in both the businesses. So can it be 50-50 roughly in the next 2-3 years?
So that's a good question, and I think we should probably get back to you with exact numbers on that. But in the next 2 years, we will add 280 KLPD. Another 140, 140, 280. So about 420 KL we'll add to our existing 500. So a growth by 90% over 2 years. Consumer business should continue to grow at the current clip. In fact, we are hoping it will increase the growth. So the current level at the end of 2 years should be able to sustain.
So sustain at like existing levels, you mean 42% is roughly continuing?
Yeah, that would be a good target for us to have. Okay. But we haven't done that exercise, so I cannot tell you what our internal targets are. But if I was to guess at a number, then around 45% at the end of 2 years from consumer would be a very good benchmark.
Got it. Thanks a lot for answering my question.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashok Agarwal, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
My question is actually we are observing that our one of the major shareholder, that is Templeton Strategic, is divesting its stake. Can you throw some color on it? Actually, who are the new investors coming in this place?
I don't know that.
Is it?
We are not part of facilitating any block deal, so I do not know who the buyers are.
Okay. The second question is about the capacities which are coming up in West Bengal, the Bihar, Jharkhand, over and above our 520 capacity which is there. So is it meaning that we are having heading for a capacity of 940 KLPD over by next financial year?
Give or take, yes.
Yeah, okay. So can we assume that since our plants are basically making ENA, which is almost equivalent to ethanol, let us say, in terms of pricing and all. So can we believe that this entire operation is 940 KLPD, would be 940 KLPD almost for ethanol, and then add on to it is our consumer business?
No, that's not correct. ENA in Rajasthan and West Bengal will continue to remain more profitable. In other states, we will play between ENA and ethanol, and therefore we can assume that the margins are similar.
Okay, no, I'm asking that when we add on to ethanol and make it as a IIL, let us say, liquor, so we are adding up on that 10, 12 or 15 rupees per liter, that add on to the ENA, isn't it? So I'm asking whether this 940 KLPD can be assumed as ethanol capacity, and add on to that is our consumer business. So I'm just to make a guesstimate of what would be your operation size after maybe 2 years or like that. I'm thinking it that way.
Okay, so let me try to answer it differently. I'm not entirely sure what you're trying to get at. But today, our capacity is 500 KL per day, of which we are able to, our revenue share is 45% consumer and 55% bulk. Going forward, we will add 420 KL per day of capacity. Most of this 420, at least 75% of this 420 KL will go for ethanol. And 25% of this 420 will go to ENA. ENA is usually at higher margin than ethanol. But it is okay to assume for a minute that they are same margin. In addition to this 420 KL of capacity that we are adding on, our consumer business will also continue to grow.
Okay.
So that is how our business is stacking up in the future.
I got it now. The 940 is not entirely for consumer business. So you have to see 940 as a ENA oblique, let us say, ethanol. And over and above, then whatever we are able to use as consumer business, so that is the consumer business. So that size of consumer business in terms of liters or kiloliters is less compared to the it's a pie of the whole size.
It's within 940 or 920.
It is within that. Yeah, I got it. Thank you. I think. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Pawan, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Welcome, and thanks for providing me the opportunity. And very well done, sir. Congratulations. Actually, I just track all of this kind of stocks, and from last March onwards, you know, from the pandemic onwards, I see there is a constant increase, and kudos, sir, for the thing. And a little bit recently, and you have a good cash flow as well, and it's very well, sir. I'm from South India actually, and normally I'm a consumer as well, and I normally prefer, you know, we have here brands like Radico, UB or United Spirits, but not aware of the global minimum rank actually. I just check on the backside of the label. So do you have any plans in South India, like Karnataka, Tamil Nadu, Andhra?
No, sir. You'll have to take a flight to come to our states and
okay.
You know, to be a consumer of our products.
Oh, okay. So you are not, you don't have any plans to bring on Saudi?
Not as of now. So we have some distribution in Andhra Pradesh. We have some distribution in Telangana. But not in the other southern Indian states.
Okay. Yeah, thanks for that, sir. That's my first question. Second question, actually, I think previous investor has asked that. I got panic with regards to selling of one of the funds of, from Templeton, being a consistent performer. Actually, I'm new, so I'm a little bit surprised. You want to say any words on that? Yeah.
What's the question? I'm sorry.
With regards to recent selling from Templeton Fund, before normally there will be a
fund life. From what I know, they have a fund life, and that has come to an end. They invested in 2013. They've been with us for 8 long years, and they have come to an end of their fund life. And like any other fund, this fund must also come to an end. This is a private equity fund, not a mutual fund.
Oh, okay, sir. Yeah. Thanks for that. Yeah, because normally there will be a share price increase when there are, when you we announce a date, you know, from there people like, you know, traders might increase the price. And obviously I know that Q4 will be good, and but a little bit surprised why this before the results or something. Yeah. That's, anyways, thanks, sir, and all the best. Yeah. Cheers, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Aswati Pariyavasti from East India Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello. Hello, am I audible?
Yes, you're audible. Go ahead.
Okay, great. Thanks for the follow-up. Just on the Orissa expansion, since we had got all the permissions and, you know, had plans for Orissa as well. So what has happened to that? Has shifted on the back burner, or are we still going to go ahead maybe in a quarter or two with the Orissa plan also?
Sorry, there was a problem with my line again. Could you repeat your question, please?
Yes. Earlier, we had also made plans for Orissa, or at least got the approvals for Orissa, and made plans for that state as well. So going ahead, are we also going to see Orissa come up in a quarter or two at least?
I think you're referring to the press, some press coverage that that our project or our application at Odisha got. Global Spirit, the board of the company has not approved the project in Odisha. It is one of the projects that is something that we are working on without allocating capital to right now. And perhaps in the next financial year, along with one or two other opportunities, we will announce further expansion, which may or may not be in Odisha. Right now, we are not in a position to confirm.
Okay, sir. Got it. Thanks for that.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sahil Narayan, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the follow-up. If I remember during 2-3 calls back, conference calls back, when Paramjit Gill came, I heard from one of the conference calls that we are planning to have a strategic assessment, a vision plan on how we are going to take the consumer business going forward for the next 3 years in place. So I just want to know, is the vision plan ready? And can you throw some light on what are the key features of this document if it is ready? So that's the first question. And second thing is, what is the role of Vijay Rekhi? Is he still with the organization? So these are my two questions.
May I request Param to please take that?
Yeah, I'll take the first one. We, as I said, we have prepared our plan, and obviously the plan is also incorporating the lot of learnings that various industries, including ours and us, have had during this COVID pandemic. And that is why in my opening remarks, you will note there were two distinct call-outs. One call-out was that we are significantly doing the following. The first one, in the value segment, we are re-energizing as well as adding to our existing offerings, preparing towards a higher consumer acceptance for us and catering to the growth possibilities that are likely to emerge as per our projections. And our going forward vision takes that into account. towards servicing this, we are in addition also building capabilities as well as route to market inherent structure addressing mechanisms, which I had called out that right from the time the star stocks or brands reach the trade to the time it leaves the consumer's hand and reaches the hands of the consumer. Coming to the premium spirits portfolio, I had called out that we have embarked on making much sharper choices in the portfolio as well as in geographies. In the portfolio, we are likely to add two more brands servicing two distinct consumer needs. And in terms of geographies, the key underlying filters for investment will be profitability of the relevant segment in the geography, the size and salience of the segments in which we operate in that geography, the convenience and affordability to service the market in that particular state geography, the size of investments required because each market is not of the same competitive order, and the time required to make the state go on to a sustainable and a profitable trajectory. So a business plan obviously is, while various engagements are continuing to go, these are the directional changes that have gone into the business plan. And we believe that these changes are going to hold us in very good stead as we go into more and more uncertain times. And in these uncertain times, bring certainty to our aspirations and projections. Does that address your query?
Yeah. So when can we expect this plan to fructify, to get operational, to see some results? Because as Shekhar was telling, that we are, this year we are expecting a loss of 3 crores, right? So can we expect in the next 2 years or 3 years, do we have a time frame to see the efficacy of this strategic reassessment?
Yeah. So the way to look at is that do we want a very small and profitable premium spirits business, or we want a sizable premium spirits business which starts contributing to the consumer business, which contributes to the mothership. I think that is the filter we should use because that is what becomes the guiding beacon. Because eventually what does every organization, including us, want? We would want a sizable, tangible business, and then only the profits will make sense. So we are using that framework where we want the premium spirits business to start becoming sizable. And that is the framework which is the driving framework, not only very narrowly thinking about how to make that 3 crore turn into a profit. It is about the size of the opportunity. How do we go about getting the size of the big opportunity, the big pie? Rather than staying into the thin and narrow, how do we convert the 3 crore into a profit number? Yeah.
So basically,
just to add to what Param said, you know, it's also to do with accounting standards. You know, when you're investing in brands from scratch, we are sort of booking all our expenses as revenue expenses, as the way it should be. You know, most of these expenses are in the nature that they will lead to benefit in the future. So in the technical sense of the expense, it's not a revenue expense, but it is being treated as such.
Right. Okay. So the parameter we can look at in terms of scalability is we can expect a sizable increase in the sales actually going forward due to the restructuring in the plan.
I think the metrics to watch for are consumer business share of total volume and of total revenue and the volume of the consumer business.
True. Yeah. Okay. So how about Vijay Rekhi, sir?
Yeah, Mr. Rekhi is you know, more than anything a mentor, guide, and a friend. He has been a mentor and guide to not just me personally, but also to countless others in the industry. We have great regard for him. From operations, Mr. Rekhi stepped away from 31st December 2020.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks, Shekhar. Thanks, Param. I wish you all the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I will now hand the conference over to Mr. Shekhar Swarup for closing comments.
Thank you, everyone, for your spending your morning with us. As always, please feel free to get in touch if you have any follow-up questions. Thank you again. Bye.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Globus Spirits Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.